Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you're going to be so glad that you're a student in this class today, because we're going to use our special feature, and I'm going to read to you from the Rock Cliff Review. And this is a message that we need so much. I mean, we need it in the life of our country. We need it in our own life. It's a lesson on perfect peace. One of the things I do as the preacher at Rock Cliff is I try to preach through several of the books of the Bible. Most of my preaching is actually opening up the Bible and just almost using the Bible as the sermon outline, where we just look at the text and teach straight from the pages. You can open your Bible and follow right along. And one of the things I've tried to do, and it's somewhat of a challenge to me, I will admit, that is I'm trying to preach through the book of Isaiah. And there's a lot you've got to know and a lot of background you've got to know to make sure you're putting the book of Isaiah in context. But I've been bringing lesson after lesson. I know it has enriched me in my studies in doing this. Isaiah is such beautiful literature, and it is as though the prophet preached in poetry. But I've come to Isaiah chapter 26, and in Isaiah chapter 26, in verse 3, it says, "He shall give thee perfect peace, whose mind is set on thee." Boy, we long for that now, don't we? Perfect peace. Reminds me of that New Testament passage we read where we have peace that passeth understanding. And so let me read to you from the Rock Cliff Review, what is somewhat a summary of that sermon that I preached from Isaiah 26 on perfect peace. And here we go. World and national events are troubling. Personal events often have little to do with world events, but personal events are often troubling also. Paul writes of a peace of God that passeth all understanding, that shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Those who have learned to trust Christ know things that those outside of Christ do not understand. Hence, this peace. World events were troubling in Isaiah's day. The Assyrians were on the rise, and after them there would be the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, one foreign empire after another dominating the land of Israel. God would turn the world upside down, Isaiah 24 and verse 1. The world they knew would be utterly broken down, clean dissolved, moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall, and not rise again, Isaiah 24, 19 through 20. To see the righteous through those years, Isaiah gave them a song to sing. In that day this song shall be sung, Isaiah 26 and verse 1. It was a song about a spiritual city that would not be destroyed. Its gates would be open to the righteous and to those that keep the truth, Isaiah 26, 1 and 2. In Isaiah 26, 3, the prophet taught them to sing, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." After hearing a sermon on Isaiah 26 and verse 3, Edward H. Bickerseth wrote the words of peace, perfect peace, to comfort a dying friend. You know the hymn. Let the following remind you of its sentiments, verse by verse. How can we have peace in a dark world of sin? It is through the blood of Jesus. The world does not understand this. How can we have peace with so many thronging duties pressing us? We simply cannot do all the things we need to do, nor all the things others expect us to do. However, we know the will of Christ, and we know that we can always do all that God requires of us. With this understanding, we can rest. There are times when life can be so hard, and as though buffeted by waves of the sea, sorrows surge all around. In those times we can come to Jesus with our sorrows, and He will comfort us as a mother comforts her troubled child. He makes us to understand that He understands. We have loved ones far away. They're facing their own troubles, and there is little we can do from here to help. But in Jesus' keeping, we are safe, and so are they. That understanding gives us peace. We do not know the future, but we know Jesus, and we know that He is on the throne. Death shadows us and those around us whom we love, but we have the understanding that Jesus vanquished death and all its powers so that we can boldly say, O death, where is thy sting? It is enough. Earth struggles soon shall cease, and Jesus calls us to heaven's perfect peace. We cannot control the world around us, but we can bring God's quietness to our hearts and minds. We can keep our minds stayed on God and trust Him. Isaiah sings his song, Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 26 and verse 4. Isaiah goes on to remind us that the lofty will fall with the fall of their lofty city. Isaiah 26, 5 and 6. He who is most upright knows the way of the upright, and the desire of our souls should be for His name and remembrance. Isaiah 26, 7 and 8. One way or another, the world will learn righteousness, and until then, the Lord will ordain peace for us. Isaiah 26, 9 through 12. One by one, the nations that cause this trouble will die and will not live. Even their memory will perish, Isaiah 26, 13 and 14. But God's people, those who poured out their prayers to Him, those who labored and brought forth nothing, even who seem to be as dead, are the ones who shall arise, awake and sing, Isaiah 26, 15 through 19. We have a city where we are safe. A spiritual city where we can hide thyself, if it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Isaiah 26 and verse 20. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. This passes the understanding of the unbelieving world. But for those who have learned to put their trust in God, we understand. Therefore, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen. And the God of peace shall be with you. Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9. I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed preparing that sermon and then preaching that sermon. And I know that when I do things like that, the Word of God has its power. And it brings peace to those who will take heed to the things that are said. Now, before we return to our regular studies, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, in the time remaining, we're going to return to the Sunday school lesson we are studying about the reign of David that was written by E.A. Elam. For the Sunday schools of March 16th, 1924, and David expresses the gratitude for what God had done for him and his gratitude for what God promised to do for him in the future. 2 Samuel 7, verses 18 and 19, we read, Then David the king went in and sat before Jehovah, and he said, Who am I, O Lord Jehovah? And what is my house that thou hast brought me thus far? And this was a small thing in thine eyes, O Lord Jehovah. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And this too, after the manner of men, O Lord Jehovah. David said, and as if it were a small thing in thine eyes, that is, a small thing that all God has done for David. He went on to say, thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And I'll make thee a great name like unto the name of the greatest ones that are on the earth. That is, the name as great as the names of the kings of the earth. David was human, and sinned through his weakness, as do all men. But in heart he was loyal to God, and sought honor and the glory of God. And the text says, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. This probably means a permanent place, which he had promised. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 5, but unto the place which Jehovah your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither shall ye come. In Deuteronomy 12 and verse 11, then it shall come to pass to that place which Jehovah your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifice, your tithes and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto Jehovah. In Deuteronomy 12 and verse 14, but in the place which Jehovah shall choose in one of thy tribes, there shalt thou offer thy burnt offerings, and there shalt thou do all that I command thee. This is a place for his name, a place for his worship. This is the place where the temple was built, and to which the people could come regularly as commanded. He would also plant them permanently in a settled place, in their own place, that they might be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the first, as from the day that I commanded the judges to be over my people Israel, that is, from the time they left Egypt, until God gave David the victory over his enemies. God had guided and directed them, and when they had sinned, he had allowed their enemies to greatly afflict them for their correction, and he had developed them into that great nation. He does not promise unconditionally either that their enemies shall never more afflict them. I turn the page and we read, but this is not all. Moreover, Jehovah will make thee a house. That's in verse 11. David desired to build God a house, and as has been seen, but God promises to build David a house and to establish the throne of his kingdom forever in verse 13. This means not only Solomon, but one of David's descendants should occupy the throne from generation to generation after the kingdom had fallen down and spiritual kingdom was ushered in. Jesus of the seed of David was placed on the throne, and his kingdom will never be destroyed. We read in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. We read in the book of Amos, chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the nations that are called by my name, Jehovah that doeth this. And in the next class, we'll talk about a passage that shows the fulfillment of those things.